Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Tommy Ricks and the strange adventure he had. Now, Tommy wasn't considered to be very bright. He was a simple, honest soul and very likable, but there's no doubt that he was inclined to be very credulous. He worked in a fishing boat owned jointly by Joe Lennox and Matt Gray, and although Tommy was pushing 35, they never treated him as an equal, but more as a buffoon, though there was no real malice in their jokes and chaffing, and the three got on very well together. I've called my story Tommy.
Nothing to complain about here. If I had the energy, I'd gut a few of these fish, Joe, before we put back into the harbor.
What?
I said, I'd gut a few of these fish. If I had the energy, good chance of finding Albert's gold ring.
What are you talking about?
You weren't listening, Joe. I said, Albert's gold ring.
Oh, Albert's gold ring.
Is it Albert Henley's gold ring
you're talking about?
Aye, that's the one. You've seen it on his finger often enough. Solid gold.
Left to him by his grandfather.
And now he's lost it.
Oh, you must be upset about that. Really? I mean, that would be a family heirloom, wouldn't it?
Of course. Well, something's left to you by your grandfather as an heirloom, all right.
But where did he lose it, Joe?
Where did he lose it?
You tell him, Matt. Well, yes, he slipped off his finger yesterday when he was out with his boat. Huh? He saw it fall into the water, and while he stood there, a fish come along and swallowed it up.
Oh, you're having me on again.
Well, you just ask Albert Henley when we get back, Tommy. He won't thank you for smiling over the loss of his ring. As a matter of fact, he's offered a reward for it.
A reward?
£100.
£100?
Aye, he said to me, and these are his very words, if I'd any more to offer, I'd offer it. For my grandfather's ring is beyond price as far as I'm concerned. But £100 is all I have.
Now you can understand how he feels.
Oh, so that's why you were talking about gutting some of the fish, Matt, eh?
Oh, you heard me say that, did you? He always has an ear open for interesting bits of information, hasn't he, Joe?
That's why I'm surprised he didn't know about Albert losing his ring.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, I'd like to give you a hand with the gutting, Matt, but when you get to my age, one job's all you can handle, and my job's to bring in the catch.
But that's exactly what I started to say to you, Joe. I'd like to help Albert out, not to mention collecting £100 reward, but I just don't have the energy.
But supposing someone did have the energy, what good would it do? How would you know which fish swallowed the ring?
Oh, well, you wouldn't know for certain. But you'd know which fish wasn't carrying a lump of gold inside it. Because Albert distinctly said that the fish to look for had brown spots behind its gills.
Brown spots?
Aye.
But dozens of our fish have brown spots. I'd have to have got dozens of them.
Well, you wouldn't expect Albert's fish to stand up on its tail and spit out the ring at your feet, would you?
That's why he's offering £100 reward.
But wouldn't the fish have died from swallowing the ring?
Oh, now that question shows that you didn't pay attention to what your teacher once taught you when you were at school. There was once a woman, long, long ago, who lost a ring that her husband had given her, and she didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And this man brought her a fish, and when she slit it open,
There was the ring inside. Oh. The man became a saint afterwards. Saint Mungo. And you know I wouldn't make a tall story out of something like that.
Only he didn't get £100 for finding the right fish.
He's still at it.
Been sitting there for the last hour.
Have you found it yet, Tommy?
No, not yet. There are even more fish with brown spots in that fork.
He'll go on till he's got every fish on the boat. But I think he's had enough now.
I suppose you're right. Tommy! Tommy, come here a minute. There's something we have to tell you.
Bit of a nip in the air this morning. Still, if we get a catch like yesterday, I won't complain. Even if we don't find any gold rings in it, eh?
Oh, yeah.
I should have known better than to believe you. I thought about it last night. By taking the time to work it out yesterday, I'd have known that you and Matt wouldn't slip up a chance of £100.
You're right there, Tommy. You're right there. But don't take it to heart. It were only a bit of fun.
Oh, I know that. But well, all said and done, it's better that Albert didn't lose his ring. I mean, if he had, like you pretended, he'd have been in a state, wouldn't he?
He would, Tommy, he would. Now, go brew us up some tea. We can do with something warm to warm us up, eh? All right. He's a good-natured chap, I must say. He never gets annoyed at him.
No.
I'd have been hopping mad if somebody had played that lost gold ring trick on me.
Oh, you'd never have fallen for it. No more would I. But old Tommy never seems to learn. What's this? Seems he's taken to reading. The Silver Man from Saturn. What kind of book's this? This tea's going down well.
I can feel it defrosting my insides. You make a good cup of tea, Tommy. I'll say that for you.
Oh, anyone can make tea.
Well, I've known those that couldn't. Some hand out boiled water with a few tea leaves floating on top, but this is the real stuff, eh? Oh, strong enough to trot a mouse on.
I suppose you learnt the secret out of a book, Tommy.
Oh, no. I always knew how to make tea.
But you are a reader. Though I don't know what kind of story this would be. The Silver Man from Saturn.
Oh, it's a great story. Well, so far, anyway. I've only read a bit of it.
Oh.
It's all about a spaceship that lands on Earth.
Ooh.
And there's a man from Saturn inside, dressed in silver.
Oh, right.
Saturn's a planet.
Oh, a planet, is it?
Oh. But things are very different there from here on Earth. Up there, they call Earth Terra.
Oh, now, why would they do that?
I don't know. Maybe because they don't know any better. Saturn's very far away, you see.
Oh, so this man in the silver suit came to Earth from Saturn to learn a few things?
Oh, no. They know much more than we do.
Mm.
It's much better there than here. Whenever they want anything, they just press a button.
That's nice.
Yeah, whether it's food or music or new clothes or whatever it is they want, they just press a button.
Nice.
There it is.
Oh, no, that will suit me down to the ground.
Oh, they don't have television sets like we do.
Oh.
They have a special room with round walls. They sit in the middle, and the television's all around them, right around the walls.
That might be too much.
No, it's better than ours because it isn't just flat pictures. Everything seems as if it's real.
Oh, it sounds like quite a place.
But if it's as good as you say, why did the man in the silver suit leave it?
Because on Saturn, they like to know what's happening on other planets. So they sent people to find out. Like Girk.
Girk?
Oh, that's the man in the silver suit's name.
Ooh.
So they sent Girk to Terra, Earth, that is, to report on things here. But he's not supposed to interfere in any way or even speak to anyone, because that's against the rules. But Girk's spaceship was damaged when he landed. He has to try and get spare parts. So I think you'll just have to speak to someone on Earth. I don't know yet, but that's as far as I've got with the book.
So, for all we know, we could be walking home tonight and be stopped by Girk looking for directions to the nearest mechanic.
I wish he would stop me.
Oh, it's only a story, Tommy, and by the sound of it, not a very good one. But you mustn't start believing it.
Well, I know it's only a story, but people have seen flying saucers, and some of them have even spoken to the spacemen. They said so on television. I just wish it would happen to me.
I said at the beginning, Tommy was a very likable fellow, though inclined to be gullible. And the science fiction story about the Silver Man from Saturn made a great impression on him. And when we remember how many so-called intelligent people accept films and television shows as factual representations, we can understand why Tommy, despite knowing that the story was fiction, came to believe in the possibility of it. At 4 o'clock one morning, as the fishing boat was nearing the harbour after a night's fishing, Tommy looked up to the sky.
Joe! Matt! Look! Look up there!
What is it, Tommy?
You see, it's a light moving across the sky.
I don't see nothing.
Up there to the right. And it's moving fast.
Oh, I still don't see anything.
Oh, hey, yes, there is something, Matt. Oh, no, those clouds are in front of it now. Probably the evening star. Or maybe one of those satellites they're always shooting into space.
Or maybe a spaceship from another planet.
Still hoping to meet Girk, are you, Tommy?
Why not?
Tommy, even supposing flying saucers were real, even supposing that a spaceman did land on Earth, the chances of your meeting him are... Well, to work it out, you'd have to count up how many people there are in the world. And your chances would be almost millions to one.
Oh, but that's where you're wrong, Joe.
Oh?
On Saturn, people can read other people's minds. They can tell what everyone's thinking. So they'd read my mind and know that I was friendly. And would help them all I could.
Now, Tommy, this Saturn business has gone far enough. It was only a story. You must put it out of your head now.
Joe's right, Tommy. You're taking it all too seriously. There are no such things as flying saucers or men from Saturn. They used to say there was a man in the moon, but when they sent astronauts up there, they found it was empty.
Well, that doesn't mean that Saturn's empty.
Hey, now, Tommy, you just listen to me a minute. Now, Matt and I kid you along at times, and that's because we're your friends and it's all in fun.
Yeah, but
if you go on talking like this to other people, they're going to laugh at you. And it won't be in fun.
But
so, no. Listen to me, so forget all this nonsense. Now, I'm sorry you ever got hold of that book. Now, come on. There's work to be done before we get to the harbour.
Although Tommy remained silent as the boat came into harbour, he was not following Joe's advice. His mind was filled with the light he had seen in the sky and the possibility that it might be a Saturn spaceship. He lived 3 miles outside the village, and as he trudged home in the early hours of the morning, he carefully kept a watch for evidence of an alien visitation.
Other people laugh if they like. That light could easily have been a spaceship. And it was moving fast, just the way it did. Oh, what's that? Something silver. Someone dressed in silver, leaning against a tree. It's... I'm a friend.
A what?
My name's Tommy Ricks. But of course, you'll know that by now. You can read minds. And if you take your time and read mine carefully, you know that I've been hoping to meet you.
I think there's some mistake.
Oh, no.
Ever since I read about Girk, I've been hoping to meet one of you.
Girk?
Your name isn't Girk, is it?
No.
I see you have your space helmet under your arm. That means you've tested our air and found that you can breathe it with safety. And your language control is built into your helmet, isn't it?
Language controller?
Ah, that's what I call an invention. I wish we had something like that. Imagine just turning a dial to the language you want, putting the helmet on your head for half an hour, and when you take it off again, you can speak that language as if you were born to it. That's how you can speak and understand English, isn't it? I know, you see. I know all about it.
Yes. Well, now I must be on my way.
I know that you're not supposed to talk to anyone on Earth, but Girk had to because his spaceship was damaged. He had to talk to Eleanor, and she helped him. And I'll help you with anything you want.
You don't drive a car, I suppose.
No, but I can sail a boat. I'm a fisherman.
Can you tell me how far it is to the nearest village?
Oh, about a couple of miles down the road.
Is there a garage, huh?
No. The nearest garage is 5 miles further on, in Eccleford.
About 7 miles in all. Thank you. I must go. I have a long walk ahead of me.
Oh, but you can't walk to Nettleford now. At least not along this road. The tide's in. When the tide's in, you can only walk to Nettleford along the upper road. So you'd have to go back for a couple of miles, then turn left where the road branches off.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I understand what you're trying to say.
Oh?
I'm stranded here, and there's no way I can be in Brallingham at 9:30 this morning.
Brallingham? Oh, yes, there is. I could sail you over to the other side of the bay, to Frampton. Then you could get a train to Birmingham.
Well, I don't know what I'm letting myself in for, but there's no alternative.
Ah, you're worried about breaking the rules. But they won't mind you coming on the boat and talking to me. Not if it's an emergency. That's what happened to Girk. And yours is an emergency too, isn't it?
It couldn't be more of an emergency. You said your name was...
Tommy Ricks.
Is there a phone box in the village, Tommy?
Oh, there's one right at the harbour, where the boat is.
Come on. What's your damn phone? It's already after five. Brian... Hello, it's Paul here, and it's an emergency. Yes, I know what time it is, but I'm stranded in some remote village dressed in a Martian costume. There's some kind of lunatic outside waiting to sail me across to Frampton. It's a long story. I went to a fancy dress party with Leela, and she insisted on using her new car. We had a quarrel on the way back, and she dumped me in the middle of nowhere. I'd walk for miles. Well, you may think it's funny, but I happen to have a business appointment in Brallingham at 9:30, which could mean a £50,000 contract. Yes. Look, this is what I want you to do. Grab some clothes for me out of my wardrobe, suitable for a business meeting, then drive as fast as you can to the Royal Hotel in Brallingham. Got that? Yeah, with any luck, I'll see you there. What? A man I met along the road. Off his rocker, I think, but he seems harmless enough. And he says he can sail a boat, so I'll have to chance it. And ride in the train wearing this fancy costume. It's still early enough, so I won't be too conspicuous, I hope. But you'll just be there with the clothes at Brallingham.
I saw a light travelling fast across the sky, you know, before we came into harbour this morning. I think it must have been your spaceship.
It might well have been.
I wish I could see a spaceship close up.
Well, I'm afraid...
I know that wouldn't be allowed. You're breaking rules as it is. You don't want to break any more than you have to, eh?
The rules are there for a purpose, you see.
Oh.
There are certain things it would be dangerous for Earthmen to know.
Dangerous?
Well, if one nation learnt a few of our secrets, they would be able to annihilate the rest. Earth people are very fond of war.
You don't have wars on Saturn.
No.
I know that. No wars for over 3,000 years. And no crime either.
We've We've evolved beyond that.
It must be a wonderful place.
Yes. Perhaps one day Earth will be just as wonderful.
Do you think so? Do you really think the day will come when people on Earth will stop lying and stealing and killing each other?
I hope so.
You suddenly look, well, sort of sad. Is it because you're thinking about how evil Earth people are?
I was thinking of two Earth people. One simple, good-hearted, and the other something of a swine for deceiving the first and for misjudging him.
I suppose it shocks you to find that we Earth people can deceive each other.
Tommy.
Yes?
I don't quite know how to tell you this, but...
You don't have to say it. I know, because Girk said it to Eleanor. Earth can't join the Galactic Federation till she's learned all the lessons. And if we can't live with each other, how could we expect to live with people from other planets? That's what you were going to say, wasn't it? And I don't blame any of the other planets for not wanting to get involved with us. It's our own fault. But I've been lucky meeting you. The chances of it were millions and millions to one. That's what Joe said. He won't believe me when I tell him. Nobody will believe me. He'd probably laugh and make jokes about it. But it won't matter, because I'll know. I know it really happened. And nobody can ever take that away from me. It's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life. And I'd just like you to know that.
And as you said, no one can ever take it away from you. Tommy, I don't have very much Earth money with me, but I'd like you to have it.
Oh, no. I wouldn't take money from you. How could I? But there's one thing you could do for me if you could, that is. If it isn't against the rules.
Well, if I can, I will.
Tell me your name.
My name is Palu.
Paul Dermot, the man coming back from a fancy dress party wearing a spacesuit costume, had started off thinking that Tommy was slightly deranged. He had set out to humor him, and had ended up by recognizing his simple sincerity. And he didn't have the heart to tell Tommy the truth. So instead of giving his name as Paul, he switched the letters and made it Palu, leaving Tommy with his wonderful experience intact. When Tommy told his story in the village, there was a great deal of snickering and many jokes at his expense. But he remained unperturbed.
Tommy, I thought I told you to forget all that nonsense about spacemen. Now the whole village is laughing at you.
If there really had been a spaceman, you wouldn't have been the only one to see him, Tommy.
But I was. Because no one else saw him doesn't mean he wasn't there.
Tommy, if someone came from another planet, they want to talk to someone important, not a poor fisherman.
But what they think is important isn't what we think is important. Like when you're a child and it's Christmas, and the most important thing in the world to you is whether you get the train you asked for. And you get it. And then you break it. That's the difference between us and them. We're like spoiled children, and we keep breaking our toys. And they're waiting till we grow up and don't break things anymore. That's the difference, Joe. They're waiting till we stop breaking things.
Paul Dermot wasn't a visitor from space. But who are we to say that there could never be one? And who knows? Perhaps Tommy, in his honest simplicity, hit on the truth. Perhaps they're waiting till we stop breaking things.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.